Welcome to Drunk on Comics, episode 188. Tony here with Linz and Adam, and we had a hell of a good time celebrating this lovely Valentine's Day together.
We actually sat through and played a riveting game of Fuck, Marry, Kill.
It was very exciting. I enjoyed it. Very Deadpool-heavy episode with the movie and our review of Deadpool and Cable.
Yeah.
Split second.
Yes. Also going along with the Deadpool theme this weekend, talked about some other R-rated movies and how we hope Hollywood takes those chances on some of these type of properties. So sit back and relax and enjoy Drunk on Comics, episode 188, Drunk on Love.
He's like the hardest name to pronounce ever. It's like you take all the letters and then just count like five over in the alphabet and pronounce those ones instead. And then you have his name.
It's pronounced Smith. Just Smith. You missed it. You clearly don't understand how that works.
Fabian Smith.
Fabian Smith. I swear to God, it starts with like an R or something. No, it's Brown Smith.
Yeah, well, his name starts with an N, and supposedly I've seen that it's pronounced Sienkiewicz.
Sienkiewicz?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's very...
No, it's... Nikiza.
Nikiza sounds like a car.
A Nikiza?
Yeah. Mm. I got the newest Nikiza, you guys. It's electric.
It would have to be.
Right.
That are, you know, green, like all
yes.
Geo-friendly or whatever.
Right.
I don't know, we're too busy killing the garden, the environment over here, you know, all that stuff.
Happy Valentine's Day, you guys.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, that didn't sound heartfelt at all. Like, happy Valentine's Day, guys. Just to be stuck with you.
No.
Boy, you know what? I was thinking about the worst ways to spend Valentine's Day.
It's with you guys.
This is worse than I thought. Thanks, Linz.
No, I love you guys. Mm. You're two of my favorite guys.
At this house and this room right now.
At this current time. Of all the people that I'm with currently, you two are my favorite.
You hear that, Derek? Fuck you. You don't even count.
He's not here. He's probably doing... married people's
stuff on
Valentine's Day.
Yeah, he said he was getting like brunch in Deadpool with his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, my brother's seen Deadpool too. He had his annual, gave his wife crabs for Valentine's
Day. That's fucking sweet. Leave it to him.
I have to ask, how did that one start?
It started as the joke of getting my wife crabs
for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, because he thought it was just so funny, and we all thought it was funny that it just turned into his annual. They have crab legs and lobster tail.
That's cute. Awesome.
The one time of year that they stick to their plan and do that.
That's amazing. I mean, I feel like more people should take the time to get tail and then give someone else crabs. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it. Now I'm jealous of his wife. That's so punny.
It's just the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
In very itchy fashion for weeks. Though it would be harder for us to have crabs.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because... gingers. Yeah, because, like, even when you try and, like, shave it all down, they'll just, like, blend in with the follicles, and you can't really tell where they are. Not that I know from experience, but those little bastards are really tricky.
Oh, I think we just entered into the TMI portion of this show.
What? Probably. That happens.
I spent my Valentine's Day weekend at the bar.
Yeah?
So, like, every other weekend?
Yeah. There wasn't much.
But did you meet anybody at the bar?
His one true love.
These moments?
I did. I met a pair of twins.
Yeah?
Both cute, yeah.
Yeah?
Both taken, so that didn't work out for me, but...
totally
cool. New best friends.
Great.
One of them, which...
Wait, what are their names? Mark and Roger?
Female twins.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
No,
the story better now.
Kara and Becky, and they met them through my cousin, and what ended up happening is we just became just fun talking this one night when he was in town, and then Becky said something about D&D.
Okay.
So like
instant nerd boner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we were talking about things, and she's like, "That sounds so much fun, drinking with your friends and talking about stuff." And then they started talking about book series and like Forgotten Realms and like shit, and I'm like, "Oh, girl after my own heart, let's get married up." So we might have some new women to join.
Yeah,
Elin's. Yeah,
that would be fun.
Because I really hate having to pretend to be a girl, like when the odds are off. That's just weird.
No, that's cool.
I also visited a new pub in town.
Yeah, which one?
Waldron.
I haven't been there yet. How was it?
Well, just that last night was our first night, so if you didn't go last night, then you wouldn't have been.
Oh, that's excellent. I didn't realize that they opened this weekend. I thought they opened
the
beginning of February.
Where
that's
is great.
McFadden's.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yep.
It is McFadden's still. Everything about it, they have a better food menu.
Okay.
But at night, it still turned into the club, and we were all in there like, I thought this was trying to get away from this. It was supposed to be a pub house, you know, European style type, you know, go in there and sit down. No, once they turned on the music and moved the chairs out for the dance floor, it was boom, 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 boom. Mm. And we were all just like, oh, we're too old for this. Of course, it didn't stop some people who were too old for it, and they shouldn't have been dancing.
You know, you're only too old until you get a couple drinks in you, and then...
Then Nana can just cut a rug.
Yeah.
No, we were fucking laughing our ass off at the white old dudes that were dancing out there with their significant others for Valentine's Day, so they're out. Man, people just should not be dancing.
Aw, that's cute, though.
That's why I know I didn't go out there, because I can't dance, but I didn't stop some others.
Hey, you know what? More power to them. I'm glad that they could do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I opened my weekend with a trip to the emergency room. I lost a fight with a can opener.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
8 stitches in my thumb. I can't use my right hand.
You were.
I was being
serious.
Honest. Yeah.
How does that prevent you from driving, though?
Because I drive a manual.
Yeah. Oh.
I can't grab the gear shifter.
Oh. He can't use that hand to grab his gear shifter.
Seriously, man. Do you have any idea what it's like to try and take control and not be able to touch your own stick? A month, dude. I can't do this for a month.
That's
gonna be awful.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, when you texted us, I thought you meant to say car trouble and it came out hand trouble, and I was.
You just let it go. That was very nice of you for just letting it drop. No,
because he really just thought you meant car trouble.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. No, my brother was having kind of a rough week, so I decided to make dinner and was opening this can of Mastacholi, and this $1 Meyer special can opener I've had since my freshman year decided that after 12 years it was going to break. Mid opening of a can, which I shouldn't be surprised at. It lasted like 12 years. Like that's a really old can opener for a plastic piece of shit. But it snapped open, and I have a giant gash going all the way down my thumb and a whole bunch of stitches. And the PA was really cute, though. She was very cool. She was like cracking jokes with us the whole time because she's like literally like stabbing needles into my thumb, which is about as miserable as it sounds. But it was not the worst first meeting of a woman that I've had. So I suppose that announces something about my life.
Aww.
Nah, she was cool, though. So I was like, you know, good open weekend. My brother and I were out, like, super late Thursday night doing that, and so it's just pretty much me laying around the house because I can't do anything, and I have to eat soup because I can't cut my own food.
Okay. See, everything that you're saying is like, how does one hand affect you from only being able to eat soup?
Right. It's because I have to eat everything left-handed because I can't cut anything. So I have to eat, like, sandwiches and soup for the next, like, month. Which, I mean, life could be worse. I really like sandwiches.
No steak. That sucks.
Right. Well, unless I have somebody cut it for me. Because there's nothing more romantic than
that. Let me put a bib on you, too.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So, ladies, in case you have this weird fantasy of taking care of an adult man-child...
Who doesn't?
Lindsay, settle down. Settle down,
Lindsay.
Lindsay's
already up on this job.
Yeah.
Tony, get out of the room.
I don't need any diaper changing, unless you really want that. That being said, you know, get a hold of me. I'm more than happy to have you cut my food and cry about how much my hand hurts.
Aww.
It's actually not too bad. The pain is really subsiding quite a bit.
Oh, we should totally make... I was just thinking of, like, we could title our podcast, like, Drunk on Love, where we help nerds find love, but then that has nothing to do with nerds in the word drunk. It just says drunk people finding love.
No, you know what? It should be. Yeah, I was going to say, we could easily do the whole Drunk on Love and just we be the nerdy people that are helping other nerds do it.
No, but we're drunk when we get this our at one point in time.
No, I'm saying we really develop an app where you put in the beers that you like, and it matches another person that likes those same type of beers. So if you like IPAs, some girl loves IPAs, and then it tells you the closest place between you two, a bar, to meet at that has IPAs that you like.
Huh? I mean, that's actually not horrible because it also takes out a lot of the whole awkward, like, figuring out where to meet. Or, like, you know, it's always going to be a public place, or at least a marginally good public place.
You know, like, what, though? I just pulled that out of my ass, and that actually does sound like a great app to just...
You're going to have to, like, copyright it so somebody doesn't steal it.
Well, actually, that officially this is, you know, we've just announced this is a conception of an idea.
Yeah.
So he has a month to file.
But if anyone wants to help me with that, then...
Somebody who knows computer stuff better than Tony does, because app development is not easy.
I don't really need the money. I just want to say concept created by Tony. You can have it.
There you go.
It sounds like an excellent idea.
If it makes billions, but...
Yes.
You know what? Just send me a case of beer every day. If you're making billions, send me one case of beer every day. We'll call it even. Like, seriously, I would work for that.
That's where most of my millions would probably go.
It would save me a shit ton of money.
Right. I mean, that's what it is. So do you guys have any big plans? Any big plans for the actual, like, Valentine's Day portion?
Nope. Spending time with my true love, my couch.
Aw, I'm going to Sanchez for dinner.
Oh, yeah. Super sexy.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, I'm crashing another married couple's evening. No, I don't know if they know that yet. Oh. I'm pretty excited to do it.
Yeah.
No, I have Sunday dinner with a whole bunch of friends, and so we decided that we weren't going to actually celebrate Valentine's Day because it's super, super commercial and every jerk in the world is out on Valentine's
Day.
It's
true.
So we decided we're going to do that instead.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, you know what we should do? Let's get into what we normally do best, which is review some books.
Oh, it sounds so amazing.
So, we...
The group.
Yes, three of us.
We the people.
read Deadpool and Cable, Split Second.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah.
The first one came out about a month ago, the other one, I think, a week ago. And with it, so just so happened to be Deadpool weekend, why not pick up the best story arc that's going on right now? Cable and Deadpool. Absolutely. Actually, no, Deadpool and Cable, sorry.
Yes.
Make sure that's correct.
It has switched, because now he's more popular than Cable.
I'm so happy with this title, because they are the best comic book duo.
Oh, yeah.
I think ever.
You know, I really love watching Spider-Man and Deadpool. I think that's a lot of fun, the two wisecracks. You know, particularly because Spider-Man gets so annoyed all the time when he does it. But... just to see old man Cable, like, just curmudgeon-y and grumpy and, like, not putting up with any of the shenanigans, it makes it such a more, like, active character role. Like, it's so much more fun for me to watch Cable just be like, you're an idiot. Like, you need to stop.
Well, look, I love how Cable is, like, the most powerful of, like, mutants, but yet he has his, like, abilities in check because he has a techno-organic virus that he has to fend off, but then that's no longer there, but then he loses it, and then he upgrades to technology. Like, throughout the whole story arc of Cable and Deadpool, seriously, go pick those up. That's probably the best stories that you'll ever read.
They're really great.
And this just continues from their how much Cable hates Deadpool but feels responsible for him, and how much Deadpool just loves Cable because he looks up to him.
Yep.
Yeah, it's cute little brotherly relationship.
It is. The bromance we chose to really talk about for Valentine's Day, because there's nothing quite as lovely as the love between two bros.
Sure.
Lindsay, you probably don't understand this.
I have...
No penis.
No penis, yeah.
So you don't get bro love.
No.
That's okay.
But I have friends who are girls who I love.
You will always be one of the guys to us.
Oh, thanks. That's what every girl loves to hear.
That's right. Also, your house we're going to build you is going to be in the friend zone. It's just going to be forever.
That's fair.
We want you to have a place to live, but it's going to be in the friend zone forever.
Okay. So this is written by Fabian Nikevich.
Nikevich.
No, that's not how you say it.
Sikevich.
Nope. There's not even like a vitch.
He... I researched this.
Okay. You didn't research it that well.
So, also, okay. By research, she means she got really drunk and tried to pronounce it.
I did, and this is what I'm going with. So you tell me what you think it is.
Oh, it's Nasiza.
Nasiza?
Yeah. Does that not look like you would say Nasiza?
Well, if you pronounced it phonetically and as American as possible, yes.
Okay, but or if you also like had him say how he pronounced it, that's how he would say he pronounced it.
Okay, we got a
Nasiza.
I would almost I would go with like Nikasia or something like that.
Why the hard K sound? Okay, hey, fun fact: nobody cares about this, dude. You wrote a great story.
Yes,
thank you. We're gonna give you a shout out on the Twitterverse
from now on.
Fabian, your last name is causing a conflict.
No, but seriously, he is the best Deadpool writer ever. As most people should know, good old Rob built the Merc with the Mouth, Rob Liefeld. And, you know, for as much as I have knocked, and everyone does, of Rob, and he is a dick sometimes when he's out there in the Twitterverse talking about shit, he did create some very iconic...
Yes, he did.
...awesome people, like... Pouches galore.
Oh my god, yep. Muscles on muscles.
Which is just an ongoing joke now with Deadpool is as many pouches, but yeah. So thanks Rob for making my favorite character. So he obviously gets some credit in that, but to really develop the character though, Fabian, like I said, with the old Cable and Deadpool series, just was a great writer. You know, right now, writing on it for Dugan. Does good, and many other writers that have written for Deadpool over the years.
Yep.
They have that fun, whimsical, you know, joking style that Deadpool is. However, reading this, it's more of a subtle joke. It's not just a slapstick, you know, I'm just going to say shit. It's, you all of a sudden have to reread that and be like, that was a smart joke.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is what Big Bang Theory should be.
Yeah. That's a weird correlation.
No, seriously, it's the fact that his jokes are often poignant. It's like in like between the two the first two editions, there's probably like six or seven major pop culture, political or like sociological references that are like, "Oh, you're taking a jab at Monsanto." Like you are clearly like not balking from the higher end. Like if you're not paying attention to the world around you, you're not going to get this joke. And they're just dropping it and walking away. Like smart kids are going to get this.
Mm-hmm. And I see too often too many people use the voices in his head type trick of where he makes jokes against himself.
Yeah, it becomes a shtick for a while.
Yeah, and so just Fabian he kills a character amazingly.
Yeah,
and bringing Cable on in again. But really, this is Split Second in Time.
Yes.
Or, yeah, it's Split it's Second.
Split Second, yeah.
Yeah, but time just comes in anyways because there's time travel, which is my other favorite plot device.
And I really like that they bastardized time travel in this one so badly. They're just kind of like, oh, good, look, you know, I'm walking right into this trope again. Like, well, your life sucks.
So Carl Weathers, I love that his name is now not Apollo Creed Weathers.
See, that was a joke that reoccurred multiple times that didn't get old. They did it just enough.
That's right.
Yes.
No, I like, okay, going with the whole time travel. So you have Cable who, for whatever reason, his chrono time travel, like, watch is only allowing them to, like, go back, like, 78 seconds, I believe it was.
Seven seconds.
No, it was a little bit more than that.
70 seconds?
Yeah, because they had a few more than just a few seconds. They had quite a bit because Deadpool needed to kind of rearrange himself in what they were doing, almost a butterfly effect-ish slash Back to the Future type timeline where, okay, you see what's going to happen, you know what's going to happen. No, or it's, what's the movie? Next, with Nicolas Cage. Where knowing what's going to happen, you can sidestep here, turn this corner here, people will be running past and everything. And that's what eventually gets Deadpool to kind of save the day, which then he still doesn't.
Right.
But
That was that whole, because that was at the end of issue one, that whole thing where they kept going back, and he tried really hard
not to kill
somebody, and, like, he gave the kid a granola bar who happened to be allergic to peanuts, and then the kid died.
He wasn't going to use his guns, and then he used his sword, which then killed someone else. Like, all these things that he realized, okay, don't do this, don't do this. He finally, they've been going back in time so many times.
70.
Like, Groundhog's Day-ish, too. Where he knows exactly, okay, if I go here, if I jump here, I'll get this gun, and then boom.
That's how he figures it out. Yes. I mean, it's beautifully well done, even though you had to be paying attention in order to keep on target with this thing.
They had this planned out because to get to that point was, like, would have been mind-numbing. And even going back and looking at those pages, and then they quick flip through of what he's doing, it's like, man, they just set this up so perfectly well. Yeah.
It's a hard thing to do. So, to get to this point, he saves Carl Weathers from Hydra, right?
Because
he's the guy that's making the temporal harness?
It's just a schematic, but not a working prototype, and we find out that he's actually going to backstab Hydra. Surprise, surprise. Somebody not following through with their Hydra plans. And he's going to try and sell it off to the highest bidder.
Yes. Cable sees Carl Weathers die, sees Deadpool, comes to stab Deadpool.
Yeah, in some weird flashback, because apparently there's some brain dysfunction with Cable's clone issue. And so he's lost all his powers. Cable sucks.
Well, see, like I said, again, like Cable losing his powers, which is just always happening.
Right.
But, that he has been having, this was in X-Force, the previous incarceration. Incarnation? Yeah, incarnation. Yes, that word.
Previous time they were in jail.
Yeah.
Where he was, going in different bodies. What they've made now is that his, especially too, since the future is wide open and there is no future yet in Marvel, this new Marvel universe, there's no time travel yet. All timelines seem to be on one main timeline. Even though Cable is from the future and there's like 10 different futures that they've mainly traveled to, whether that's happening or not, and it's scrambling his brain, I think that's got to do part of with the whole all-new, all-different Marvel.
Sure.
But that being said, I love what Deadpool said. Wait, your superpower is, like, pretty much knowing history?
Yeah. You have a really good memory.
Like, wait, you were in the past and could look into the future, but now you're in the future looking into your own past, so your superpower is being good at history? And I was like, wow, that was really weird. But, I mean, yeah, that is what that would be. I mean, how bad does your life suck when you're like, my superpower is remembering that shit happened?
Yeah.
You mean everybody.
Yeah.
You have everybody's superpower. You can remember things.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not everybody, but.
So I love, though, that mainly not Apollo Creed went back in time to try to save his son from getting shot, actually.
Right.
Because he was the first victim
of Deadpool's rampage that day. And so.
Accidental.
Yes, and if it wasn't for him to time travel back in time, that wouldn't have happened anyways. So this whole time loop that's going on, which then gets into the second book of needing to fix all those time loop errors that Deadpool caused with the mysterious person who is in a red and white and kind of black suit that you're just like, I wonder who this person is. I really am wondering if this time traveler is someone that we've met before.
Right. Also very mouthy.
Yes.
True.
Yes.
Not to give anything away that to people who haven't read it yet who are planning on picking it up, but that is Deadpool. So, sorry.
I feel like if you read this and you couldn't figure that out before they revealed it, then no,
you were not paying attention to the line.
No.
There's literally a line in it where he goes like, "Of course it's me. Only I could be as stupid as I am."
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah.
But I also felt like time travel Deadpool was like a smarter Deadpool because he's maybe learned a few things.
You know what? I think the more important thing is that he already knows the gags that he would have said.
Right.
So he's just been thinking about like the comeback to have for it. Like he can just again though, there's the time paradox. Because if he knows what he already said when he was confronting it, is there a new timeline because he's saying something new now?
Wow.
I really like time travel too.
So I liked in the I liked in the second one where he goes back to visit his wife after he's been gone for
Can we talk about the relationship?
35 years. What's her name?
Oh, yeah, the demon queen.
Yeah, her name is 2 seconds.
It's like Sikla or something like
Shikla.
That. Shikla, yes.
So yes. I love at the beginning of one, he's coming in and he's going home after a long day of being in charge of an agent's tax squad, which was cool.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell gave him the ability to do this? Like, that's weird. So anyway, he goes in and, you know, he sees his wife about to, you know, ritually murder a goat.
For dinner.
For dinner. I think. Well, I mean, probably multiple purposes.
Yeah.
He seems super wasteful. But so, like, he freaks out because she's in sweatpants. It's just like, well, Spider-Man's girlfriend comes in and all of this, you know, like, negligee. And I remember, like, I'm giggling at this one. And I realized that at this moment, I relate more to Deadpool than I ever have before. Like, with every sexual encounter I've ever had, it always seems to start off with, like, the really girl in the sexy lingerie and then the business suit, and you're like, oh no, this is really okay, and then, like, you know, a few moments later you're like, why are you Satan? Like, why did this happen? Like, what is going on? I'm really scared and I don't want to be touched anymore. So I mean, this is really, it's just so funny to see the interaction between the two of them, because he's so enamored, and then, like, even his throwback comments about, like, yeah, being married, it's really great. She tells me what to do and what to think and what to wear, and we never have sex. Married life. And it just, like, totally, like, drops it there. But at the same time, like, I'm wondering if it's a shtick that he's cracking because she is a succubus. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know, they could go forever and ever and ever with this happy relationship, and she would always have.
Well, that's what I love. So he's gone for 35 years or something in the future. Yep. He's zapped, and then it's like, oh shit, I just said I was going, stepping out. Like,
I was
going to kill me.
Yeah. So he walks in and be like, yeah, I got over it. And like, after 25 years? And he goes, minutes? And oh. Also, I mean, that's just what happens sometimes. You pick the crazy ones, and they get over you way faster than you get over them. So, yes.
And then they open a sex den.
Where, you know, demon crawly caterpillar things come flying out of people's bums. That was weird, too. But I mean, I really like a lot of the little moments in here, because we've got, like, the little, like, dwarf, like, dancing and drinking. It's just a big sexual energy orgy kind of going through. There's one in the first book, there's this panel where Deadpool's actually walking away after he and his wife starting into a bit of a tiff, and there's just these, like, hands sticking out of a grate with these glowing eyes. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, is she's still, like, demon and watching him? Or is it, like, does she just have, like, extra demons down there?
Well, just extra demons down there.
I imagine. You'd have to think, because, you know, she's queen of hell. She has these guys kind of running around doing whatever they want.
She's probably really busy.
Probably.
Making goat stew.
Probably. I mean, she's allowed to do the domestic stuff. You know, who says a woman can't have a business life and a home life?
Exactly.
And of all the people to be all-encompassing and to be, you know, really nice about it, I feel like Deadpool would be the most understanding and supportive of all people for that one, and all of his multiple personalities.
Yes, for sure. So, yeah, she came to terms with him being gone and then back very quickly,
mm-hmm.
but she had moved on already.
Yeah, she's immortal.
Yeah. So,
she's pretty used to it.
She does help him get info so that he can figure out where to go next in his little information-finding spree, which is, I guess, looking for himself. I wonder how long it took him to realize that it was him. Like, did it take the reveal of the guy taking the mask off for Deadpool to realize that
Deadpool? Oh, yeah, for Deadpool, yeah. He's us, we're smarter than Deadpool, so we could realize that's who he's battling. But for him,
yeah, Deadpool never outsmarts anybody. He outplans in the most absurd way possible. So that's, like, you know, everything. I also love the laser swords.
Yeah,
huge laser sword.
Oh,
battle.
They were having a lot of fun playing out there with those laser swords. It's like he was playing with himself. It was with this laser sword.
I would.
Well, technically,
I would
he was
too.
Playing with himself.
They earlier dropped the, like, oh, all I'd need is Leia and a lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I'm just sitting here like, well, there's a lightsaber. Where's the Leia? It's gonna come in. It's gonna drop a reference. I know it's gonna come full circle, guys. Come on.
Yes.
But I have to say that my favorite panel was the one at the bottom, was they're going through Cable being this problem and having all of these issues, and seeing all of the different incarnations of Cable kind of just around not Apollo's head. Like, that's one of my favorite moments, just seeing it through there. You know, there's the battle with Apocalypse. There's him being, you know, Papa Nate to Hope forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just some really great moments where, like, I'm really excited about seeing where they kind of take this from, and whether or not Deadpool's going to start have to time hopping through past timeline.
Oh, that would be kind of cool. Go through, you know, all we have of this the new universe. It's all in the same moment,
but the reason why we're having the problem is because of the schism in Cable's timeline. That's why he's, you know,
losing his fucking shit. Yeah, he's
like sitting there all curled up in a ball and helpless.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. It would be cool if that's what they did. I'd love to them to go back and like revisit the art styles and everything.
Yep.
You know, and I like the back pages that they're doing. The first one was at the Back to the Future with Cable and Deadpool.
Yep. And then for the next cover, because it's actually the cover out.
Oh, yeah.
That's actually the reason why I picked up as quick as I did.
Fucking roll your eyes at me.
She didn't apparently look at the cover of the cover. I just read it. Yes, I love the Back to the Future reference stuff, but we are seeing, like, young, like different stages of Cable through there, so I'm wondering if this is because of the schism in his head, or if this is because Deadpool's actually going to be running through Cable's timelines, which would be really interesting. This could be the way that we fix Cable, because Old Man Cable, while very entertaining, has zero ability to survive.
He's useless. He's essentially
effectively useless.
Yeah. But he's got a big gun.
Well, yep.
And a couple pouches.
A lot of people have big guns and a couple pouches in the Marvel universe, though. So, like, but he's not equipped to be the protector of time that he has been.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do for this.
Very, very good book. I love it. Highly recommend it.
Absolutely.
Out of all the Deadpool books, this is the one to be reading right now. I love Deadpool so much. I just wish there was more places to see him besides comic books.
Like, almost, like, physically see him. Like, I don't have to imagine it in my brain anymore and have the dreams that are waking up all sticky and wet. But, like, the ones where I can actually just sit and watch him in a movie theater.
A Deadpool movie?
Oh, a Deadpool movie.
That's preposterous.
Clearly, because Fox owns the rights to that, they would never let something like that happen.
It's too adult to make a movie.
It is. You know, the parents would complain about it being rated R.
And
saying, well, I'm not going to let my son see this because it's rated R, so you have to change it. Or you could just be a parent and tell your kid to suck it up, because you don't always get what you want in life.
Exactly.
I learned that from the Rolling Stones.
Yes. Now you're going to sing the song?
No.
Oh, okay.
I thought about it, though. Really hard.
I know. I was going to give you, like, a dramatic pause.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I don't have to launch into it.
So, obviously, there was a Deadpool movie.
What?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It was the best thing I've seen in a really long time.
Was it? Because I don't think I saw it the first opening night.
No.
I waited till Friday, went with my brother, but that's because, you know, we were busy in the hospital that opening.
Yes.
So I totally went and saw it, and general thoughts, guys.
So, spoiler alerts, if you guys haven't seen Deadpool yet, which... Why haven't you, exactly. And there's really nothing to spoil storyline-wise, but if you don't want...
There's never anything to spoil storyline-wise.
Well, this isn't really like a Star Wars-esque,
no,
like...
No, but if you want to experience, like, the Easter eggs and stuff on your own...
There's so much in...
Then skip forward, because we're fucking going to talk about them right now.
Yep.
All right.
Or just listen anyways, and then you can look for them while watching the movie.
Yep. I mean, truthfully, this is the warning for those of you who haven't seen it yet. If you haven't, there are so many jokes.
That you don't even get to listen
so
because
quick.
The theater's cracking up laughing.
Yeah. They're so, like, well-timed, one after the other, like Deadpool writing should be, to the point where, like, I know I have to go back and see it at least another time or two in order to get a lot of these side comments. Like, this is one of those replayability movies that you're going to wear out the VHS on.
Yes. I missed... There's probably a shit ton of stuff I missed, because... Just people clapping and laughing behind me, and I just wanted to be like, "Shh, shut up, everybody!"
So I've had some friends who are not as big of comic book people as we are, who have all said best, funniest movie they've ever seen. I love that, especially. Well, okay, so Ryan Reynolds is bringing in some of the chicks, regardless, because he's Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, yeah,
fuck, he brought me in too. I mean, he is Deadpool, but even. Even when he's cancer, ugly looking Deadpool, you still know he's hot Ryan Reynolds underneath that.
Yeah, like, it's really funny too, because like he does look pretty grody, but he's not as grody as I thought they were going to take him. But it could just be because, like, in the back of our heads, we're all going, he's still really attractive. I'd still do it.
Like,
well.
Yeah.
After a few few drinks and getting really drunk, I'll still sit on your face.
That's right.
Did you guys see in the part when he escapes a giant floppy Deadpool dick?
I missed the giant floppy Deadpool dick.
Just one of those things on the big screen that when he's fighting, and I'm like, whoa, they actually showed that. Kind of when he jumped around, and was not expecting that.
Oh.
No, there was a bit more than nudity on that one than I expected in certain moments.
Yeah.
Not that I minded.
Marina, oh, she's fucking beautiful.
Right, yeah, Karen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's top of my list.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Mary top?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has been since Firefly.
Yes, I could see that.
So.
But going back, it starts off opening title sequence.
Yes.
That just set the tone for the movie and how this movie jumps around a lot, too. Almost like you're in Deadpool's head of, like, scrambling, rethinking things. But it is set up so perfectly well that instead of doing a sequential order of...
I'm following the story from start to finish.
Yeah, and just here he is, you know, handsome person, then gets, you know, turned into Deadpool and then going after. How they have it set up of him going after them... Then fast-forwarding to being in love, and then coming back to the fight now, and then turning into him, like, setting it up in the different little chapters of this movie, it was refreshing, it was great, and
he was telling us a story.
Yeah, but he could have just all of a sudden said, it all started at this point, but he starts at one point, then gets back to business, and then, oh yeah, I should mention this.
This is important, isn't it?
Yeah. Fucking every time that he turned to the camera, his breaking the fourth walls... were great.
They were really good, yeah.
Making fun of Deadpool. Like I said, also opening title sequence, him being starring God's gift to the world.
Yep.
But no, like
two. Just the walkthrough on all of them. I'm just sitting here like, yeah, man. From the credits, you guys are just okay.
You got the green.
Yeah, he had a Green Lantern card in his. That was I've never seen that ever happen in my life. DC go after Marvel or Marvel go after DC. Yeah. This was like the first of like, you know, shooting, coming out blazing. And he even makes the other joke that was in the trailers of don't make the suit green or animated.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, that is a direct, you know, which is, they need to take more chances like that. Because all of us who know that joke are laughing their ass off. The other people, it flew over their heads, but then they laughed at the next thing that he said.
Yep.
They need to do more of that writing. But no, I loved, when he was talking about Wolverine and then and how hot, you know, Hugh Jackman is.
Oh, yeah. Whose balls he had to play with in order to get his own movie.
Yep.
And it rhymes with Wolverine.
Yeah. The other part when it was a flashback talking about his favorite item or something, and there you see an action figure of the other Deadpool.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, yes, they've included everything that they need to say... Fuck that monstrosity.
I was going to say, there's the one reference in the torture scene where he goes, we can show you my show, and he goes, that won't end well for you. Immediate job. Don't do that. Yeah. That's just not a good idea.
Yeah. Well, you know, and he, even when he, at the beginning, is it the Ryan Reynolds, the Sexiest Man Alive magazine that goes flying through the air in the car crash. Yeah.
But my favorite, I think, of Breaking the Wall was... when he goes to finally ask for some help, and it was Colossus and, oh, was it Nuclear?
Negasonic
Teenage Warhead.
Yes.
When he goes, or she answers the door, and he's like, man, why is it that there's only ever two of you here? It's like, they couldn't pay to have another X-Men person in this movie.
And she's just like, what?
Perfect, how Deadpool is, and then just goes out along with the story, like, and how true that was.
Yeah.
Like, I would have loved to have seen more characters interact. It was cool with what they had.
Oh, yeah.
Colossus?
Oh, my gosh. What a little puppy dog he was in that
always
movie.
I mean, that's how he's always been in the character. Like, and that's why, like, when they did Days of Future Past, I had so much trouble with a lot of their characters. Like, I get it. They're war-ravaged. They've been on the run for years and years and years. But through all of the really awful shitstorm that was Colossus's life, he was always just, like, this goobery guy. Like, oh, it's okay. Figure this out. Like, what? Yeah. Why?
Like when Angel Dust's boob pops out.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you beautiful girl. And then when he throws up. when Deadpool
shoots the other guy in the head.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
That was, yeah. There was so much versus the comic books that was, like, true to form.
Mm-hmm.
This was Deadpool. There are small differences, like, Negasonic is a little bit different. She has more shaved hair. And
well,
and
not even just from image, too. Like, her power is slightly different. She's more able to discharge the energy after building it up in a certain direction.
Which was actually fucking badass.
Yeah, I think cool it was really... I mean, again, though, like, this is one of those things where, like, oh, she's at the Xavier School. Maybe she learned how to control her power better. Like, it was totally in spirit with the character, who I had always really enjoyed. I mean, clearly one of those 90s axillary characters that they invented that had great potential, but nobody... attach themselves to.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, she's the angsty teen on Twitter, and she's perfect.
So funny. Yeah, when he's teasing her. That too. But Vanessa's a bit different as well.
Yep.
She was a shape-shifting mutant, yes. And, you know, who knows. But I also loved it, that she didn't just break up with him at the end. It wasn't like
she poked fun of it, but...
Because I was almost thinking, like, is she going to die? Like, Wade doesn't really always get laid all that often because of how hideous he is, but he's had a few girlfriends and he's married now, so it kind of happens.
Yeah. It does.
But then that goes into, well, also, the best cameo that didn't see. I knew Blind Al was going to be in this, who,
right.
Long staple of his, like, being his, well, friend, but, like, he kidnapped her at first and then forced her to be in his house. She's blind, and she just gives him life advice, was Bob.
Oh, yeah.
Bob is... Was
Bob?
Bob was in the...
he was in this comic we just read.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, and he was within the Deadpool series, going off from Cable and Deadpool, where he was an agent of Hydra that Deadpool, for some reason, didn't kill, and then was always just in his Hydra suit, just always helping out Deadpool, and always just showed up weird times, and... So when we were reading Hank Johnson, Agent of Hydra,
yep.
I kept on thinking of Bob, who was, like, a good person. So then he showed up in the movie, and I'm like, okay, he's going to actually live because Deadpool is friends with him.
Yep.
And he did.
Come up later.
And they didn't even, for me as a person who knows where Bob came from the old Deadpool books, that was just a small thing that all they had to do was just give some character a name, give him two
right.
lines of dialogue.
Give him a nod.
And it was just like... Fuck yeah, that was so
cool.
But
I'll tell you what, the actor that they cast on him looks exactly like I would imagine a Bob. Just like peon number 300. Like, you look at him and you're like, he doesn't look like, oh yeah, you know, like super personable with it, like totally okay, kind of a goober, but like in a good way. I think that, you know, pulling Bob into the plot more later on, because I mean, particularly in the Dugans, Bob comes in and is like, hey, I'm going to be a pirate captain and you're going to be my first mate because I said so. And he's like, okay, great. And he just like runs on the ship. Like you know, you have the ability to have this character who can be this major plot device for any reason. And if you just, all you got to do is keep him around. And we introduced him beautifully in this first thing, and it could be something they develop, or it could be, you know, just a reoccurring joke character,
yeah.
Which is also great.
Well, I think the best news, and this was even news before the movie even debuted, Fox had put out that they are making a Deadpool 2. They had this much forethought of this is just going to kill it anyways that
yep.
we're going to already make it. And then, of course, there already was the teaser at the end saying they're going to make a number 2. There are a few movies that I actually wait opening day going to go buy when it comes out on Blu-ray. This is one of them that I will spend every nook and cranny looking for every small Easter egg that they hide on this thing.
You know they're going to just throw so much extra shit on there, too.
Yep.
But here's the thing. So, making a Deadpool 2, and they are going to have Cable in it, they said. What else do you think? Because there's been a long talk of them actually making more of a Rick Remender's X-Force, which was... well. Cable he was on part of the team a bit, but it was more Wolverine, Deadpool, Phantom X, Warpath, and it was a very dark and awesome time for X-Force lovers.
Yep.
Where does Deadpool fit into that? Is that going to be more of this adult rated R?
Psylocke.
And
that was the other one.
Yes, and also, is Deadpool going to show up in the X-Men movies now? They're talking about him wanting to be an X-Men. They know his property and his cells.
Yeah.
But can you really take this Deadpool and put him in to
not the current
the X-Men family movies. Yeah, friendly X-Men.
No. Oh, no, you can't. Absolutely not.
And that's the thing. Or you can, and you just tame them down, which then takes away from this character they built
up. Well, it ruins the character.
Well, we saw what happened when you put Deadpool in an X-Men movie.
Yeah, well...
And it was a shit show.
Yeah.
I feel like they kind
of... take his mouth away, because it's the only thing that he's maybe known for.
Right.
Here's the thing, like, so then, obviously, you're not going to really have, then, those X-Men characters come to an X-Force movie either, because those right. are kid-friendly, and they now know, okay, Deadpool is bad, but this is going to have Wolverine. And Wolverine movies have, been, like, you know, been not rated R.
Right.
So can they be an X-Force? And here's the conundrum that they have. And I hope to God that they are just smart and willing to take the chances of saying, people are not idiots. They see that it's rated R for a reason.
Right.
There may be tits and blood and all this and swear words. Maybe this isn't the kid-friendly version of X-Men. Right. We don't need to bring our kid to this.
Right.
Fuck, there was kids at... There were little kids at the movie theater when I went, and I'm just like...
My 13-year-old was taken to go see it, and I called him the next day, and I was like, how was it? He's like, really inappropriate for me, but awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Perfect. I mean, that's an honest answer. No, and Tony, I have to launch off of that. I think that it's very important to acknowledge the fact that we have the ability to do these kind of things, but we also have Hugh Jackman who says that he's not going to be doing Wolverine anymore. So if we're going to do it, we're going to have
to. Well, he's got his last movie. He's going to do the Old Man Logan story arc.
Yep. So this is where he's coming through, and so if we're going to jump into the X-Force one, this could very easily be taking
place. A new Wolverine?
Yeah, with the new Wolverine.
New actor?
Because if you do it that way, it solves a lot of the problems of not associating Hugh Jackman's family-friendly mm-hmm. Australian with the actual character, who is much more difficult. And, of course, I will say it now, and will always say it, Tom Hardy is my number one choice for that character. He's the right size. He's the right shape. He's got the right attitude and gruffness. Because, I mean... Hugh Jackman is actually like almost 5 inches too tall for what the character actually
almost
is.
Almost every character or person is so too tall.
You have to get like Danny DeVito or something.
No, that's exactly. See, like, that's the beauty that Tom Hardy is 5'6". So, like, compared to... Tom Hardy's a little fellow.
They do such a good job making him look so
tall.
Yeah,
that's my point. Like, but if you look at how much muscle mass he can put on for a production and how grisly he can become, you know.
Was he wearing lifts in Batman?
All perspective shots.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. Here's a couple things I saw on some internet forums and talking to some friends, though, of how you could honestly take Ryan Reynolds, this new Deadpool, and put him into a PG-13 movie. A, you are allowed to say fuck one time.
Yes.
So,
or break the fourth wall around that concept, because he has the ability to do that.
Yeah, or if someone says the F word within the movie, and then him doing it and nothing's coming out, and he's like, why can't I say, and then it's just blank there, would be funny.
Yeah.
Right. I would be okay with them censoring him in that aspect, because they are allowing him to have his superpower, breaking the fourth wall, not being able to, but still be him, and being pissed that, why am I in this movie? Or, and you just have him, he's not going to be a main cast character anyways, but to show up. If I saw someone post of if he was like to be fighting, and because he knows the camera, like this is an X-Men movie, no, look at me, and like he's trying to get the camera to look at him, and he's about ready to slice someone's head off, but the camera pans to like you know, Storm or someone else,
he follows it,
and then he's like tries to get it and like drag it to him, and there's just a pile of dead bodies. You didn't show the murder. You didn't show them,
which you can get away
but
with.
But then you got away. Like,
yeah, there's also
good editing.
Yeah, there's really wonderful moments where you could just be like, "Oh my goodness, his pants fell down," and then like he like pushes the camera, like gives a good swipe, and then like you hear, and he, like the camera like you know recenters, and he's just like, "You are really fast at looking at me." Like you
know? That would make me like that. That I would be okay with.
Sure.
So you could have him in a PG-13 movie.
They
would have to. Not have him in the whole movie and just have these jokes kind of spread out and then maybe just have him be like, okay, I quit this or I'm done with this. I'm going back to my rated R movie. See me in theaters in 2 weeks.
It would definitely, I mean, the X-Men movies are so moody. It would definitely change the overall mood, which I think they need. They're super moody movies.
They have gotten worse.
Yeah.
The first one, the second one, pretty well balanced on lightheartedness. But the third one, they went from, like, I know Lindsay still has
the
tremors.
The third one, yes, it makes me nauseous.
But they took a lot of big chances on that one that not everybody's happy about.
No.
Wait, for which one?
The third X-Men film.
The Phoenix one.
But, So speaking of X-Men, I loved when class like, we're going to go see the professor. And he goes, Stuart or McKevy?
Or Magnaboy, because I have a really hard time with the parallel universe thing. I lost my shit. Again, I'm sitting there, and then like the guy next to me, he goes, why is that so funny? And I was like, I'll explain it after the movie's over. Like, don't talk to me right now, man. I also don't know who you are, but thank you.
It's like you needed to have a primer class. No, afterwards.
So
yeah, I did.
So I'm hoping more R-rated movies, and there haven't really been that many R-rated movies of comic book heroes.
Correct.
No.
And actually, in fact, there haven't R-rated movies. I feel always go down to either like ghouls and like killer slasher movies, or like dramas that have like more adult like language in it.
Like
nothing
like,
fun.
You know, the Punisher film. Did a lot of that, too.
That was amazing.
Right. I love Tom Jane as the Punisher. I thought it was a wonderful film. It got way worse reviews than it should have.
No, not the Thomas Jane one.
Oh, Warzone?
Warzone.
The second one.
See, and I hated that one in comparison.
But that one was the rated R one, and that's the one that
I think
they're
both rated R. I'm pretty sure
I think the Thomas Jane one was...
Oh!
To the
internets, yes.
No, but you know you're right. They don't have enough of them that are for more adult audiences. You know, for the more adult side of this thing. And I think they have the ability to do that if they try. Again, though, it's going to take just the appropriate rating.
Oh yeah, it was R.
That's what I thought.
It was.
Yeah,
it was my favorite movie. So I was like, pretty sure.
I think it was just violent. I mean, when they're in the house.
Yep.
And they're being attacked, and he's just. Up left and right. It was so violent.
Don't forget the Dolph Lundgren Punisher from way back when.
Oh my god.
So true. But you know what? I think that there is a lot to be learned from this. I think that Marvel now has effectively the ball in their court. They have the ability
to. No, all new, all different. It's not Marvel now.
Thank you. Marvel has the ability to change a lot of things that they could make very interesting. For example, I think that having a dark, gritty, but beautifully tempered Moon Knight film would sell insanely well because he's like he has to deal with these hallucinations and like Deadpool, they're not going to do the whole dysphoria. They're not going to like have him like slipping out like they do in a lot of the Dugan comics where he's like hallucinating all of these crazy mm-hmm. things around him.
Well,
I don't think that they're going to be doing that
too much.
As much as
they
it's
have
more
the
like
little animated. Things
right. It's more over him just, you know, being crazy with it a little bit. But, you know, like with somebody like Moon Knight who actually has major problems because he is schizophrenic, like being able to have these like the mental health hero.
Do you think that I don't know that do you think they could pull that off in a movie?
I think they could.
Or do you think that's better in like a Netflix series?
I think that they would do better. Of. I think that they have the ability to do it in a rated R film. I think it would sell very, very, very well. But again, though, it would have to do with casting and writing.
Yes.
Because everything needs to be done in balance. Because Moon Knight is a very funny character. He's very weird, but he's very dry. And it's his hallucinations that are the funny part. Like, that's...
Right.
That's the beauty of the character. Like, you could have this really great straight actor and, you know, have the more shtick roles being brought up and brought through for other people.
Do you think that Moon Knight could do as well as a Deadpool movie?
Oh, I think... I don't know. I know that it couldn't.
Right.
But that's because Deadpool has had such a large following recently. I mean, they dropped jokes in the comic, in Deadpool and Cable, about like now there are more cosplay Deadpools at one convention than cosplay Cable for 20 years. Like, yep.
Yes.
Did you guys get the Blade reference in Deadpool?
Oh yes, the
which
Blade
also team. that was a rated R movie. It also had Ryan Reynolds. And,
yes.
You know, those were terrible.
Yes. Nope. They got more terrible as they went on, as most movies do. But, mm-hmm. I mean, the
first
one
was just flat out amazing.
And
fucking sword,
oh,
badass.
Yeah. A lot of
D-Walker.
People don't think about it as being, like, one of the best comic book movies that were made back in the day. Cause pre, what, 2010 comic book
well,
movies?
Well, here's the thing, though. Even well, yeah. But even then, though, they don't get as great as Deadpool is, which he is in the comic book world, making the money for Marvel and the Avengers within comic book continuity. But like even the Watchmen was amazing book. It made money,
yes,
but not as much as it should have.
No.
And that was a talented cast it was straight up for almost from the book, I would say, a great adaptation.
Right.
Small changes that had to be made
Well, four, yeah. You four can't have movies. A giant squid in the yeah. movie.
But the way they did it.
I mean, they could do it in Japan.
Yeah.
I mean, 300, also based off a comic book. So there have been good rated R.
Sin City,
yeah. Sin City as well.
Probably one of my favorite ones.
So, but they haven't really, those have been so far in between. Take some chances, big publishers, make some more of these. Fuck, it'd be great if Valiant then says, you know what, we're going to come out with some movies and just make them how we want to. Yeah. Blood and guts and R. Absolutely.
Or, you know, like seeing somebody who has a really great art director, like getting a really top-notch art director to do a Netflix miniseries for Saga.
Oh, my God. They've already said that they weren't planning on taking that into any other form. But that would be amazing.
If you had somebody who was really yes. great at art direction, like that could be stunning.
Yeah, oh my God, yes, that would be amazing. And R.
And R.
For sure. Oh, Deadpool.
Deadpool, thank you.
Yes.
For loving us.
So, want to quick mention how amazing I am at my predicting the future.
You did so well, Tony. Yes,
I mean, I'll tell you what, man, I should have named you Nate Summers. Yes.
that flawless sounding. Okay, I try to make it sound as bad, but not bad, like when I popped in the words. I just had so much fun. I had to take a bunch of takes because I kept giggling every time. I was like, the Broncos. The Broncos. The Panthers.
You're still giggling.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun to throw together, and I'm quite happy with myself of doing that, and then the shit show that I was while recording. But
it was amazing.
Did you guys watch this game? I know that a lot of nerds don't watch Super Bowl. In fact, here's the thing that actually pissed me off. For as much shit as non-nerdy people don't give others for going to Comic-Cons, if you post you're going to Comic-Con and then your friends don't just say, oh, that's dumb. So many of my comic book friends were like, yeah, I ain't watching this stupid thing. Yeah, a bunch of people beating each other up out there. That's so dumb. I'd rather watch Puppy Bowl. Holy shit, I've never seen the hate flow as much right. through them.
Which is funny because we read books about fictional characters that beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah. There was a lot of people like, okay, you don't like football. You don't have to like football. You don't have to like hockey. You don't have to like all these things.
You just like commercials.
But I've never seen so many people.
Or just don't watch it and not be, venomous about it.
Right. Yeah. So with that being said, those that didn't watch it missed a couple good nerdy commercials, of one of which that I thought was just incredibly well done was from Coke, which was Ant-Man versus Hulk.
Yep.
And I love that. A, they were both CGI, so you didn't need to have Paul Rudd or who the fuck's now playing Bruce?
Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo in it, because it was just the computer animated Hulk and then small Ant-Man. However, it was a great prize to this commercial, and I thought that was great.
Yeah, it was funny.
Something also that I thought that was great, which I'm afraid to admit.
I know.
What do you know?
I know that you're afraid to admit it.
Okay.
And I know what it's going to be. But you go right ahead. It's a safe place for you, Tony.
We're here for you.
The Turtles movie trailer made me actually want to go see the new Turtles movie trailer.
You piece of shit. No, I'm just kidding. I totally want it.
I don't. I'm really nervous because the first one was so bad.
No, I know. And but it wasn't.
I mean, it wasn't Fantastic Four bad. But, I mean, it was still bad. I mean, that's the worst. This is the worst thing about last year. To me, and more than anything else, there were a couple of films that I honestly did not enjoy. To the point where I was like, you know what? I'm really glad I didn't pay for this. I'm glad I watched it with friends, caught it later. This was good. But because of the abomination that was Fantastic Four, all of those were tolerable films that I saw that year because the bottom of the rung was like way underground, like 12 feet under. You buried it twice so it stayed dead, which apparently it won't.
No.
I was talking with a friend who had kids that he brought to Ninja Turtles who they loved it.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I was not appreciative of their direction of what the Turtles look like.
Right.
It's mainly their look, too. They look really like giant alien turtles.
They were younger.
Be shorter. Yeah.
That's true.
Smaller. And I think that's my biggest beef with the whole thing. Yeah. They're just huge. But with that being said, I will take back ever saying it's a terrible movie. I'm just not, I don't like it as much. But it was a good thing for that. So I'm sure kids and their parents are going to be bringing them to this new movie, but just seeing Krang,
oh my God,
was what did it for me.
Yes.
Seeing Bebop and Rocksteady and some of the other trailers was like, damn it, now I think I'm going to go see it. But that Dimension X is coming in.
Yes. And, like, and the very traditional Krang inside the giant suit body. Yep. That, yes.
That's what makes me, and I'm,
I got very excited about that.
I mean, I was pretty excited about the whole turtle van. Because I had that as a kid, like that action figure. It shot the manhole covers, and like that was a huge deal for me. So it was like, I really like that. I like that they're taking the more nerdy aspects of Ninja Turtles and really trying to run with it. I appreciate that they're doing that. I really want their character development on the Turtles to be better. Because I felt like the only thing that I really learned was that three of the four of them are generally pretty angry, and Mikey has no idea what's going on. Like that was the whole first film, and I was. But you know what, Donnie was usually much more like even keeled, and the way that you know Raph and Leo butt heads is not necessarily as big on the comics as it should have been. Like they were pissed at each other the whole time, like always at each other's throats, and there was always just like, you know, bad tension friction like in the other ones, and so it's like, no, you guys should really be developing this, like allowing this to happen. I did like the resolution at the end of the film, but at the same time, I was hoping for more of this, like, big character development, so they were like, we're brothers, like, supernatural
stuff. Yeah, the character development was there. As I said when I first watched it, when it came out a year ago, I felt Megan Fox was the best part of that movie, April O'Neil, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
The April O'Neil was the best part of it. Like, her character actually had some story arc within it, and she's just fucking hot. I mean, I would totally Bebop her Rocksteady any day.
I'd rather eat a manhole cover.
You know, in the new trailer, they have, you know, her, April O'Neil, walking through, tying her shirt up to show her belly, to use her sexual nature to probably get something done. And I don't know if I'm okay with that yet, but...
Well, obviously it sounds like you would kill her. I would totally fuck her, and you seem okay with just maybe marrying her.
I mean, Megan Fox? Yes. She's probably
mine would be killed. I cannot stand her. Her voice drives me crazy.
She looks like maybe if you touched her, she'd be sticky.
That's exactly it. She was more attractive before all the surgeries.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of like, you look like everybody else.
Well, speaking of fuck, marry, kill.
Yes, it's Valentine's Day.
So we're going to celebrate the way that nerds do by pretending that we can actually get other people.
And whether we're going to fuck them, marry them, or kill them.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, let's start with you, Linz. Who would you rather fuck, marry, kill? Scott Summers, Alex Summers, or Nate Summers?
Okay, so I would totally kill Scott Summers, because Cyclops is a giant fucking douchebag.
All right.
I would fuck Cable, Nate Summers, for sure. That's probably a good ride. Mm. And then you Alex...
pull out some toys from pouches.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you never know what he's got going on. Who knows what that nanotech virus has got him doing.
It vibrates. That's what she's hoping.
Yes. And then, so then I would marry Alex Summers. He'd probably...
Havoc? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He'd probably make me dinner.
Sure.
Microwave it with his hands.
So, yes. All right, so keeping on the X-Men, and you guys can both answer this if you want.
Ooh.
But, so I'm going Cyclops' girlfriends here. We got Jean Grey, Psylocke, and Emma Frost.
He didn't date Psylocke.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, well, we'll go with it, because the three hottest telepaths.
We can go that way, too.
Here's the thing, you wouldn't want to cheat on them, that's for sure, so...
That shouldn't be an option anyway.
That is not one of the options.
That's not how we play this game.
Fun fact, folks. Treat women with respect. A PSA from Drunk Comics.
Yes, this is completely hypothetical.
Otherwise, they may get telekinetic abilities and cut your dick off.
I feel like I would have... Psylocke's fucking hot, though. Like, I would definitely want to fuck her, but I feel that she would also have more of a well-rounded, talking to, rest of my life type thing, so I'd marry her. Out of the two, Jean, just, she dies a lot, so why not just kill her early and kill her?
Poor Jeanie.
And then fuck the shit out of Emma.
That's interesting. I had a very different, I have a completely different answers pull from this
Yay,
one.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so I would fuck Psylocke. For sure. She's actually always been, like, my number one on the X-Men list. However, she's so emotionally jaded that, like, you couldn't do anything other than that. The sex would be amazing. She may tear you in half like a phone book, but
that
would be, like,
that.
The world's gushiest orgasm. So, I mean, I'm okay with that moment. Emma is just too hardcore. Like, she's always looking down on other people. She's super condescending and really opinionated. Not somebody I'd end up staying with, so she's got to go. And then, you know what? Gray, I have to say that as long as it's the incarnation, the newer incarnation, where she has confidence and ability and still has that softer side, but also, like, can handle herself, yes. Absolutely marry that
yes.
woman.
Yes. You would have adorable little ginger babies.
We would have amazing ginger babies. Which ginger drops. Okay, so for the two of you, I have to go out with this one. Fuck, marry, kill. The Beyonder. Darkseid. Thanos.
The Beyonder. Darkseid.
Darkseid?
Darkseid.
Thanos. Darkseid.
Beyonder can make anything. He's like one of the most powerful. So I feel like marrying him, I'd get whatever I wanted. So that's where I'm going to go that route.
But at the same time, you have to take into consideration that he usually gives nothing. He can do all of it, but he very rarely helps anyone.
Yeah, isn't that most marriages?
I don't know. I've never been married. I've talked to one girl. Like, Lindsay, you're the only girl I've ever talked to. Like, I don't know how these things work.
Yeah. I don't know, though. Thanos would do so much for if he was married to me. He has to love me, I guess, if we're
right. I mean, look at him.
He is very dedicated to the people he loves.
Yeah, he loves death.
Yes,
and he does everything for her.
Yes. I think, yeah, even after being kicked out. He'd be fun. He's one of my favorites, so I'd marry him, spend the rest of my life with him. Maybe fuck the Beyonder because he could turn into anything.
Oh!
That's good.
There's an approach.
So there's good. And then Darkseid, he's Thanos 2.0, and I already got my Thanos, so he's gone.
All right.
I agree with this reasoning. Okay. I don't know that I would change anything.
Okay.
All right, boys. We got the big guys here.
Okay.
In a non-gay way, but completely gay way. The Hulk, Thing, or the Abomination. And the Abomination, not war. Mm.
Who?
Yeah.
Hmm. Who would you need to use the most amount of lube with? Okay, now is this actual like actual functional relationship or anger bang? Because that makes a big difference if I'm gonna have sex with the Hulk.
I mean, you know, however you like your sex, I guess.
It's hard for me to explain, like, just going in the realm of what I feel like I'd want to do just because I could then say did if
sure
say I killed the Hulk,
right?
Like, somehow in this scenario, it makes me able to somehow kill the Hulk. That I'm that person to say I took down the Hulk. Don't fuck with me. I would almost just put him on that pedestal just because of that. Plus, also, would not want to be married to that dude because he could just go off and whatever.
But then you would also be married to Bruce Banner.
Yeah, even Bruce Banner's kind of a little piss ant. Like,
right on. Man. So if you killed the Hulk, then you would have to fuck either the Thing or...
Yeah, I think I'd marry the Thing, though.
You'd marry the Thing?
He's got his blue eyes and...
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So that means you'd fuck the Abomination.
Yeah, I guess yeah. So.
Yeah. Bottom or top?
Yeah, I don't think the Abomination's going to let him choose. I mean, he's called the Abomination.
Okay. Lindsay, imagine Bruce Banner fucking you, and then all of a sudden, like, he stubs his toe or something.
Yeah,
and he hulks out while...
Yeah.
See, that was my point. That was my big thought on this one. That's why I say, is it anger bang? Because, like, he only becomes stronger the angrier it gets. And eventually, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Like, fun fact, I don't have hips. They've been crushed. I would have to marry the Thing just because he's actually... Grimm is such a gentle soul.
Yeah.
The Abomination I would have to kill because he's just a prick. Like, he's always such a prick. And then I would have to have sex with the Hulk, even though I know that it would probably kill me.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the rules of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta pick.
You
can't
do.
Be like, no, I don't wanna.
Yeah. Lame. No, I wouldn't have sex with any of those guys.
No.
Man, it's just going way further than what originally we thought about talking about how this would be. Just thinking simple, you know, okay, we'll just go through because looks or this or that, but I don't really kind of get it into.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a nerd that acts really, like, contemplating me, like, well, okay, so what, she's still irradiated with, like, gamma, yeah. Then maybe I'd get, like, butthole cancer.
Wolverine, Daken, or Sabretooth?
Wolverine who or Sabretooth?
Daken, which is Wolverine's son.
Oh, yeah.
Daken's so angry.
He is an angsty dick.
Well, he gives off bare bones.
He's attractive, too. So I'd probably fuck him.
Okay, I can see that.
I'd marry Wolverine.
Would you?
I think so. He can be. He's got a rough exterior, but he's a softie on the inside. And the women that he's loved, he's really loved.
That is fair. He has done that.
So therefore, I would then kill
Sabretooth.
Sabretooth,
he's too self-serving.
Yeah. He's got those long nails.
True. Well, I mean, that can be kind of fun, too, though.
Yeah. I guess.
I mean, that's what I've heard. I haven't actually met a girl yet. No, I think I actually have to... I don't think I would change any of that rationale.
Yeah.
I think that Daken would be that... I think he'd have to be a one-night stand.
Yeah. It would be a constant.
I would not want to stick around for that.
Be a weird, like, fucking the son and married to the father.
Yeah.
Situation there.
Ooh, I did not think about the love triangle. That makes it really weird, but not bad. Just weird.
Yeah.
Huh. This whole thing is just weird. We should just move on. What's booze in the book?
We are skipping booze in a book.
What?
This week, but we're doing booze in a movie.
Yes, we are.
And it's going to be the Deadpool movie. And to really fully enjoy the Deadpool movie, you need to get yourself some blowjobs. Which are those just lovely shots with the whipped cream on the throat? What's in them? Kahlua? Was it?
Well, whipped cream, pretty much.
Just Kahlua and whipped cream?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you take it out of the lap of somebody else.
Yes.
Which is
with
the
your
important
mouth.
Part.
There's that whole part in that movie. I didn't know why the fuck he was ordering that until I'm like, that was genius.
Yes. So go watch Deadpool, then go to the bar, order a blowjob, send it to some rough looking motherfucker,
And then run.
But really, you could just probably get super drunk on anything and then go watch Deadpool, and that would be a lot of fun as well.
I did 3 Irish car bombs with my brother before we saw the movie.
Nice.
It was a good toasty level of having fun, and I can honestly say that movie was fantastic.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing we didn't quite do, so pose this one to you. Deadpool from Wolverine, Deadpool from this movie, or Gwenpool?
Ooh.
Mary Quill.
Oh. Well, I would kill the Deadpool from the Wolverine movie.
I think that's going to be unanimous.
Put him out of his misery.
That's a thing.
I'd
have to marry Gwenpool.
I don't really know much about her personality-wise.
No, she's about as crazy as Deadpool, but she's got really nice boobs.
Okay. I could get down with that.
Right, that's kind of where I'm at with that. I'm like, you know what? Mm. They're all kind of messed up.
Yeah.
But no, I'd
she's
have to marry her
pink,
and then have sex with Deadpool.
He is pansexual.
He is, and he's addressed that many times.
Yes.
I mean, he even has the joke in there in the Deadpool comic, Deadpool Cable comic, where he's just like, you know, that came too fast. And he's like, that's usually what I hear during sex. Oh, wait. No, I didn't say that.
I think I agree with that reasoning.
Yeah, I'm totally down to fuck Ryan Reynolds.
Yep. Also, we do have a side note. Matt, who could not be with us today, wanted to pass along that in Fuck, Marry, Kill, his answer would always be to marry and fuck Dirk Manning. Like, it didn't matter what the other choices were.
Right. It's always Dirk Manning.
Just Dirk Manning was the answer. So
that was an unsolicited response from him, but he made sure that we knew that he wants to marry Dirk Manning.
Yep.
So Dirk Manning, Matt's married, but, you know, if you're ever down for a polygamous relationship,
could be a thing.
Matt's willing.
Polyamorous.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, all the loves, all the touches, all the feels.
All the time.
Anyone have a last thought?
Go see Deadpool. If you haven't,
if you haven't, absolutely.
Well, here's to teach you a little bit of Spanish. Cancer in Spanish is
El Cancer. Fuck El Cancer. So, stay thirsty for El Cancer.
Ew.